Okay, morning everybody, morning church. Oh, I've got a clap from Jamie as well, I really appreciate that. It really helped to have that Bible passage open, Luke chapter 1. This Christmas season, we're thinking about what's your Christmas playlist? And to help us do that, we're looking at Luke's Christmas playlist. So in Luke's Gospel, Luke records some of the songs that were sung the first Christmas. And we're going to think about Luke's Christmas playlist, and therefore our Christmas playlist. And as Karen has explained, this morning is particularly Mary's song. So this is the song that Mary sang, expressing the amazing news that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. And what we see in Mary's song is she teaches us two really important things about God. Two really important things. Very, very simply. First of all, we're going to see in verses 50 to 51 is that he is a promise keeper. So the first thing that Mary's song teaches us about God is that he is a promise keeper. Verses 50 and 51, talking about God's mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Mary is saying that God works in a particular way. He shows mercy to those who fear him. And he has done that through generation after generation after generation. Mary is saying that God is predictable. He is like that. He's always the same. He works in a particular way. And the wonderful thing about Christmas is that all those promises are fulfilled. And they're all yes in Jesus. God is a promise keeper. And he always keeps his promise. And he always acts in this way throughout all of human civilization, showing his mercy to those who fear him. He is predictable. He's a promise keeper. The thing is, in our society, though, we're sort of conditioned to think that being predictable is boring. That's what we think, isn't it? We want, particularly at Christmas, you want lots of different things. We like exciting things, choice, difference. Predictable, that's boring. That's what we think, don't we? For example, quite a few, but thinking about marriage. A few years ago, I heard a guy, and he didn't like marriage. He said marriage was boring and predictable. He compared marriage to having to eat cabbage for dinner every day, is what he said. Oh, it's just, who would want that? You know, he said, oh, I'd like to, you know, eat Chinese food one night. And, you know, he was saying, oh, it's boring. But actually, if we read the Bible, and if you think about it in life, life depends on predictable. It gives life, actually. Put it this way, give you another example. No one has ever said, breathing. Oh, it's just so boring. Oh, dear, you know, you breathe in, and then you breathe out. It is just tedious. So, so boring. Breathe in oxygen. And then you have to breathe out carbon dioxide, a bit of water. Oh, I'm just so bored of it. It's so predictable. Tell you what I'll do. I fancy a change. I'm going to have to just take a great big lungful of chlorine gas, some CL2. That'll clear the sinuses. COVID wouldn't last with that. True. But also, it would kill you. And that's because what we call predictable, actually, life depends on it. And if you think about it, it's not just physical life, relationships, social activity, all depends on promise keeping. It literally gives us life. Society would collapse without it. I'm going to illustrate that in a moment. All of life, social activities, our economic world, what acts on it as well. I've got a £5 note here, and there's something written on it. At this point in the service, I was going to give it to someone to read, but I'm not sure it would come back again. So I'm just going to read it for you. I've got to take my glasses off for this. I'm sure many of you know this. On this £5 note, it says, printed on the front, the Bank of England, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £5. And our entire economic system in this country is based on this. A lot of you will know that since 1694, the Bank of England has made that promise. And in the past, it had to be gold. It's 1931, they changed that, so it's not the case anymore. But in the past, the Bank of England had to have enough gold in its reserves for all the paper money circulating so that anybody could go up and say, well, here's my fiver, I want £5 worth of gold. Now, they've changed that rule, so the Bank of England doesn't, since 1931, doesn't have to have that amount of gold anymore, but the promise is still the same. Basically, anytime you go into a shop, even if you're banking online, the same thing applies, the whole system would break down if it wasn't for this. All the interactions we have is because someone, the Bank of England, is keeping their promise. All of life would break down if it wasn't for that. And the problem, though, is, if we're really honest, is we don't keep our promises. Actually, all of life, physical, spiritual, emotional, social, economic, is based on promise keeping, but we don't. And that's why things go wrong. We regularly, if we're honest, we are regularly promise breakers. Thinking about marriage, I want to say on behalf of all husbands right now that just because we said we were going to fix it does not mean that you have to remind us every 6 months. Because, and that's just a silly thing, but in many more serious ways, we are not promise keepers. And that is why, I don't know if you noticed in Mary's song, it's so important that Mary in verse 47 talks about my God as my Saviour. That's how she describes God, as my Saviour. And that's what we all need this Christmas, is to trust God in our Saviour. To save, first of all, for Him to save us from the consequences of not keeping our promises. And that's what we believe happened when Jesus died on the cross and rose again. That we're saved from the consequences of breaking our promises. But secondly, something just as wonderful and important goes on. That because God keeps His promises in Jesus, and Mary says He's predictable, He's always like that, it means that then we can start keeping our promises. And just like with the £5 note, it passes on like that. You see, if I become a Christian and I trust God that He keeps His promises, He's completely dependable, He never lies, He always sticks to what He says, then I can be forgiven and then start to keep my promises. But then a bit like passing the £5 note, just like when I go into the shop, I pay the shopkeeper. He trusts because of the promise, but then actually he can pay his suppliers because of the promise. And so it passes on that if I keep my promises, then other people around me are more likely to keep their promises as well, because that's how trust works. So that's the first thing. That's the first thing we learn from Mary's song. God is a promise keeper. And I would say that the only hope for the world is that fact that God is a promise keeper. And this Christmas, I'd encourage you to trust in Jesus. First of all, to accept Jesus as your Savior, to forgive you for the problem of broken promises. But secondly, then trust Him so that you can keep your promises. At that point, I want to pause and say, in the back of all your seats, there's these little leaflets that explain what it means to do that. They're free. If you want to take them home and read it later, you're welcome. This little thing, it's again, songs, it's based on the Carol, our little town of Bethlehem, and explains what it means to believe in Jesus and follow Him. But that's the first thing. So the first thing we see is that God is a promise keeper, and the only hope for the world is that we might trust in Him as a promise keeper, because that would transform all our relationships. But the second thing, Rosie, can you just move on to the second slide? The second thing, and Karen's already pointed up to this, and this is really challenging. Do you notice in that God is also a role reverser? He's predictable, but He turns everything upside down. Verses 52 and 53. God has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but He's sent away the rich empty. Now that is really challenging, because in our society we love above everything else, don't we, equality. And I mean by that, levelling. You know, it's where the Prime Minister gets his slogan from. He wants to level up. Because all the time we want everything to be level, and therefore we tend to assume that God will be the same. Surely God wants to level it up so that everybody's all the same. We want to say that Jesus surely would be like that, wouldn't He? But what we're going to discover when we look at Luke's gospel next term is that's not the case. Jesus is not the equalizer. He is not played by Denzel Washington. Jesus does not equalize. That's the really challenging thing in Luke's gospel. Jesus turns everything upside down. Do you see that? He doesn't level up. He turns it all upside down. In Luke's gospel, for example, famously in chapter 13, Jesus says the first will become last.
He doesn't say we're all going to be coming at the same time. He says the first will be last and the last will be first. He tells a really challenging story in Luke chapter 16 about a rich man and a poor beggar called Lazarus. And in the story on earth, the rich man has banquets and, you know, fantastic foods in his home. And at his gate is this poor beggar called Lazarus, and he gets nothing. They die, and afterwards, death is not an equalizer. Death does not equalize, it doesn't level, it reverses. Because after death, Jesus says, the poor beggar who had nothing in his life, he goes up to heaven, which is a great banquet, and he has all this luxury and everything, and the rich man is sent to hell. So that's really challenging. Jesus is saying, and we'll see this again and again in Luke's gospel, not that I'm going to make everything the same, but actually I'm going to turn the whole world upside down. And that the reason for that is because if you think about it, if we level up all the time, what we're really doing is admitting that the values of the world are the right values. You know, for example, if you, like Boris's thing about sort of leveling up, it's still basically saying that having lots of material possessions is what we should aim for. But the thing about life in things like the rat race, the thing about the rat race is, if even if you win the race, all that means is congratulations, ta-da, you're a great big rat. But Jesus does more than level up, he reverses, he turns the values of our society upside down. And therefore, he calls for those to be humble. It's the humble. Remember, we saw this in the book of Isaiah, didn't we? It's people who are humble and contrite that the Lord lifts up. And again, that is a helpful explanation of what it means to become a follower of Jesus and to live as a follower of Jesus, to be humble. A follower of Jesus is someone who comes to God and says, in effect, I'm nothing special and I've got nothing special, so I need your help, O Lord. And we receive that in Jesus, again, in his death and resurrection. That's what the cross is all about. That's why Jesus came for those who are humble and contrite. So it's not the people with everything who push themselves forward that God accepts. It's those who say, yeah, I'm nothing special. I've got nothing special. There's nothing in me that means you need to accept me, O God. But I'm simply trusting in what Jesus has done for me. Because God is that great reverser. He turns everything upside down. He accepts those who are humble and contrite. So those are the two things that we've seen from Mary's song today. Two very, very simple things taught us about God. First of all, that he is a promise keeper. He's our Savior and he's a promise keeper. And he has made that promise, and we know in Jesus that it's true, that we can trust that promise. And when we trust that promise, then that helps us to keep our promises and so on. So that's the first thing. But the second thing, he's also a role reverser. He turns everything upside down, and it's the humble, it's the last, the people who are last, as it were, and who have nothing. They are the ones that he lifts up. And that's what Christmas is all about. And you can see in both these things, both the promise keeper and the role reverser, that our only hope, I would say, is in Jesus. And that's why, to finish, I just want to encourage you to introduce something to you. Again, in the back of your seats, there are these little cards about a course called Hope Explored. Now, it's going to be, and particularly for those online, it'll be easy for you to access, because you can even now go on the RLBC website page and sign up if you want to. Those here, how to sign up is explained on the back of these little cards. It's a course on Zoom. It's going to start on January the 12th. It's a Wednesday in the evening, just for 3 weeks. And the course looks at the hope that is in Luke's gospel, in Jesus. If you're not a believer, if you've got all sorts of questions, or if you are maybe a young believer and you want to ask questions, nobody's going to force you to accept anything. It's simply a safe environment to come along, ask questions to find more about Jesus. So I'd really commend to you, if according to Mary's song, the only hope in the world is Jesus, why don't you come along in the new year and explore that on Zoom? So as I say, those here in the church, use your little leaflets, take this little card home, and it explains how you can sign up. And those online, if you just go to the church website link, there's a link there and you can sign up too. But as I say, Jesus, according to Mary's song, is the only hope for the world. And therefore, what we're going to do now is a sort of a trailer, an intro to this course. We're just going to watch a short video, which is a vox pop, asking people on the streets of London what hope they have, and challenge you to come along to the course. And then after we watch the video, we're going to sing a song that we first heard last week at the Nativity about the shepherd. So let's watch the video, and then it's over to the band. Thank you.